Welcome, people, to the unknown world of freedom of speech. It's your boy Larry Belafonte, aka Young Price Titter. And we actually got a special guest today. We lit. Make some noise for my brother Cedo. Terrence Vidal, what's the deal?
Simon, what's up?
Yeah, man, I'm excited to have my brother on here. I'ma let him speak to y'all very shortly. You know, the purpose of having these different guests or people that are speaking on freedom of speech and coming in and kicking flavor with your boy is just, it's I'm either bringing in people that I admire, people with opinions, people just doing dope shit, which I probably admire that, and just amazing people that I feel like should be using their freedom of speech, period. And, you know, coming from the IE, we got a lot of homies and a lot of people doing great shit. But this dude right here is just somebody that it just to see his story and be around him during a nice piece of the journey and to travel the world with him and literally go out the country with this dude and just do crazy shit. You know, but to see the things that actually occurred before all that and the wild shit that this dude been through, I've always been inspired by it. And I've always, you know, it's the epitome of strength and not giving up and beasting, period. And that shit is just amazing. I feel like this podcast is going to reach millions of people, and this story has to be heard. You know what I mean? And people got to just know some of the dope shit that you've done and dope shit and crazy shit you've been through. And so, you know, without further ado, you know, I'm going to give my brother the floor. Chop it up, Cito. Just, you know, give him a little bit of what you've been through and some of your story, man. Where you at now?
Yes, sir. My nigga, I appreciate it, for real.
Yes, sir.
All the love, you know. But I kick it like, you know, I came from like a single parent household, just the moms, you know, the granny, four brothers, you know. My mom and them came from the South, moved to L.A., came from Alabama, Detroit before that.
So, word.
Yeah.
Alabama?
Yeah, came from, you know, from the South.
That's like, crazy, yeah.
I got an older brother named Be Nice, you know.
Okay.
He was born in the South, him and my other brother Ninja.
That's fresh.
You know, I got like, you know, then me, I was born in L.A., and my little brother, Dante, he was born in L.A. too.
Shout out to the bros. Shout out to Dante, yeah. Dion, Be Nice, Ninja, the whole fam, bam.
Yeah, we gonna touch
we gonna
on
get into that.
Yeah, yeah. You know, but my mom's and shit, Shanteezy, we moved out to the IE. My mom's, my granny moved out to the IE. We moved into Rialto, you know, so that's like really where I'm from.
Yeah, yeah.
Really from Rialto.
Most definitely.
We moved into the Vineyards, you know, one of the inner city ghettos. Second and Spruce,
right?
You know, right? You know, in the middle of 210 to 10.
Yeah.
And Rialto—that's the heart of Rialto, though.
Right.
You know, my granny had an apartment in the front, mom's in the back. You know, mom's working two jobs.
Right.
And granny got to watch four boys. That's just on mom's side. I step back a little bit too. Like on my pop side, I got nine siblings.
Okay.
Eight brothers and one sister on that side.
What your pops like? Like,
you know, he grew up L.A. He is a blood.
Okay. What's his that? He black.
Nah, pops is Cuban.
Okay.
100%.
That's crazy.
Know, granny, all that. I'm half black, half Cuban.
Okay. See, people got to know that. That's what's up.
That's where my last name come from. You know, my real name Terrence Vidal, but you know, everybody call me Cito.
Yes, sir.
Cito, you know, same nigga. But yeah, then we fast forward, you know, we moved to Rialto, 2004.
Yeah.
You know, 2005, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we began.
Right. And so you say, you know, you had your brothers was Ninja, Be Nice, shout out to the bros. You know, how, what were they like? What was it like being the middle child? Or like, was they hard on you? Was y'all into sports? Like, what was y'all bros like? What was it like being all boys?
Oh, you know, it's you know, that's competitive. That's the real environment growing up with brothers, you know. Yeah. Ain't nothing like that. So, you know, we used to, you know, we rough. We all rough. We grew up rough. Nigga get see older bros doing shit. You know, you want to do that. Be nice. My oldest brother was fly, right. You know. Graduated high school, all type of shit. You know, fly ass nigga. He was a cool nigga. You feel me?
Right.
He used to be into the bullshit though, before all that cool shit.
Right.
I ain't gonna lie, he was in the, you know, G Rise, all that. I ain't trying to incriminate my boy.
Right, right. Right.
He was out there too, then my older brother Ninja too, you know.
Shout out Ninja.
You know, he grew up a little rougher, a little in and out of jail, you know.
Okay.
Inner city politics, you know, all that type of shit. I fell behind him.
Okay, so your oldest brother was going to jail, or it was the second oldest.
Yeah, second.
Ninja.
Yeah.
Okay, so
second oldest.
He was going to jail like when y'all was more so younger, or
yeah,
just
that's teens and shit, you okay. know. 14.
Yeah.
13, 14, 15, 16, 17.
And so when you say you fell up under that, what you mean by that?
You know, like growing up all boys, you know, niggas going, they gonna, you know, pick up stuff off each other, being brothers and shit. But
100%.
You know, when we step out the door, everybody had their own section because everybody was different ages. So everybody functioned with their own group of homies and shit, you know?
Yeah.
And me being one age under him, a lot of the niggas he was hanging with, they little brothers is my niggas. You feel me? We all.
Right.
So, you know, we under their generation, we under them. So we learned from them. They was gangbanging, all that type of shit, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
I just don't want to focus too much on
100%, 100% not. And so, you know, what were some of the experiences in that made you realize that wasn't the life for you? Like, did you ever, you know, have to experience jail? Did you, you know, go through anything that really made you turn full circle? Like, damn, I gotta kind of really.
Oh yeah.
Find course. A different way. What really put you on the path to really entrepreneurship and where you at now?
It'll put me on the path to that, just wanting more, you feel me? Just when you grow up, just being in, like, you know, in apartments and shit, nigga, you caged in, that's a cage, you feel
yeah.
me? So, like, some people didn't leave out them apartments and didn't even know about what's up the street or down the street and
right.
different shit. So just wanting to get out of that and see more, you feel me? You know, aside of the bullshit, of course, you know, everybody know what string along the gangbang in the jail.
Right.
You know, death, violence, all that, you know,
yeah.
all that different shit. I got the wiggle in between, you know, a lot of shit, count my blessings. So I had I went to jail when I was like 16, 17.
Okay.
I had went down for like, they said I shot a cop, but
damn.
You know, that shit was false. It was, you know, it was police brutality at its finest.
So wait, hold the fuck up. Sorry, freedom of speech, y'all. And we ain't gonna even hit on this long at all, period, because this dude's story is phenomenal. We got time, though. So hold on. Because you can't ever just go over, I just shot a cop. Like, these people gonna be like, wait, what you mean you shot a cop? It was police brute. You feel me? Like, that's wild. And to know you even here talking about it is even wilder. So if you can you just go a little bit more, you know, in depth on that a little bit? Like, touching on, like, what you mean? First of all, how did they even shoot a cop and you alive? How you ain't get shot, first of all?
Nah.
And why, like, explain kind of what even happened. What was the experience in that?
Yeah, it was more so like I said earlier, you know, being caged in. So, you know, when you, all that shit, you got to come into the cage, you feel me? So, you know, the police surrounded the apartments and shit, you know, everybody hanging out, normal shit.
Right.
You know? Everybody, we all kids and shit, 15, 16, but you know, it's inner city ghettos, you know, niggas protecting
they,
you know,
they,
where you
they,
lay your head, so,
period.
You know, young niggas had slammers on them and all that, police came in, you know, tried to dip out the back, got caught,
yeah.
They handcuffed the nigga, the pistol was, you know,
yeah.
You know, back then, you really out there, you feel me, this where we could wear a little baggier clothes and shit,
right,
you know,
right,
nigga, little nigga, basketball shorts, big white tee, but you know, you got your hood nigga holster, the belt around the rib
exactly.
cage to hold any, you feel me? No matter how big it is.
Straight
you know,
up.
You know, they handcuffed me, slammed me up, you know, I got one up top. slide out, hit the police officer, you know.
So the officer tried to arrest you, and then?
Nah, he did arrest me. He put me in handcuffs before even searching me.
Damn.
So, you know.
That's wild as fuck.
But it's like, you know, we inside of the apartments, you know, everybody know each other. So when that happened, you know, the police get to doing what they doing. You know, they all stumping me out, beating me down, yada, yada. But like I said, nigga, it's a community. Everybody there to protect each other. So, you know, the residents, family, friends, everybody out there scrapping with the police. People getting maced, tased.
That's crazy.
Teeth knocked out, you know.
Yeah.
It's some movie shit, some real movie shit. Vell right here, he was there.
Yeah.
Oh, you motherfucker. Your whole family was there. All the Zigglers was
all
there.
All the Zigglers.
Your whole family was there, though.
What's even crazy is my sister, though. My sister actually stayed in the apartments, and she called me and was, like, screaming and just telling me everything that was happening about it, how the, you know, the police were just taking advantage, you know, of the people. But to know at 16 you went through that, you know what I'm saying? And so you made it through that. You got arrested. You went down. You fought the case. You beat the case, obviously, because it wasn't your fault, you know? Yeah. And so
it was a gang of shit behind that. They was talking, like, crazy. They was talking, like, 21 twice. And nigga was going to court
years?
For a whole year. Yeah.
Damn.
I was fighting court cases for, like, you feel me, a whole year plus.
So were the cops, like, did the cops, like, feel a way towards you because you, quote-unquote, like, shot a cop to them in their eyes? Like, what was they, like, was they fucking with you? Did they,
it was crazy. It was crazy, you feel me? Even within there, you know, it's a lot of details in between that, you know, that I ain't gonna really
You can't
go
even
into.
Go yeah, into, yeah. Yeah. We ain't even gonna even go there. This freedom of speech, this ain't that bullshit.
But they was going, it was some crazy shit, you feel me? Some real movie
That's crazy.
Shit, but. Yeah.
And so going through that, you know what I'm saying, you get out, you come home. How old were you when you got out of, when you ended up getting out of jail?
I was still like 17.
Okay. So you didn't have to spend too much time in there.
Nah, it was just a couple months. They was really like the police, you feel me, they did their little dirty shit. They found out I was a minor, you know, in the process of all that, cuz they had took me to West Valley to the adult jail.
Yeah.
And I'm beat the fuck up. They try to put me in there. They found out I was a minor, so you feel me? That's where everything. That was the only plus on my side.
Right.
Basically.
Okay, that's just God's grace, period.
Yeah, so they had to leave me in jail so I could heal up and shit, you know. That type of shit, they had a nigga on a crazy lockdown, juvenile, crazy lockdown.
Right.
It was a couple of my homies and shit was in there too, though, in juvenile hall. You know?
Right. And so we got past that, you come out, you get out. Where was your mindset? You know what I mean? When you came home, like... Was you on some, like, fuck everything? Was you on some, like, nah. I gotta get some money? Was you on some, I wanna stay away from everybody? I wanna go in the house and not come outside? Was you on some, like,
nah,
what
nah,
was your
nah.
mind at? You know what I mean?
Like when I came out, like, actually, I was on house arrest for a whole year plus, you feel me?
Okay.
After I got out. So, like, when I first got out, I'm thinking the first day, it was like, wasn't it a function at my house? It was like probably like 50 of the homies there. And I was on house arrest. I couldn't even go outside. Everybody functioning outside. Football game, it's full, everything. I'm watching from the window.
Right.
I was straight though. It was cool. I wasn't on no fuck everybody type shit.
Yeah.
You know. That was just another man up situation.
Nice. That's what's up, man. And so boom, fast forward. So You going through life, you know what I'm saying? What's going on after post jail, you know, you get out, you get the ankle bracelet off, like where your mindset then, you know, what got you up to this point?
I was still, that's still a teenage, so you know, I was still on bullshit. I was still on bullshit. Like, even with me being on house arrest, a lot of shit didn't happen with, you know, with the homies and my homies and shit. You know, like my best friend Matt went down.
Yeah. So Free Matt?
I was on house arrest. It was like a little bit before that type of shit. Like all that type of shit. But it was a lot of shit going on with, you know, with a gang of people.
Yeah.
You know, and I was I didn't get to be out there for a lot of shit. So when I got off, I was like just back out there with the homies, you know.
Right.
Doing what we do, you know, kicking it all out.
Kicking it and shit. Okay. So bet, that's fire. And so boom, you go through the whole transition of the street shit. You still young and you thugging. When do you transition from committing full time damn near to the streets, basically? You know, what takes you out of that? What, you know what I'm saying? What
kind of pulled me back?
What pulled you back from, or even pulled you more to yourself, pulled you more to, you know what I mean, doing something different in life. You know what I mean? What was that awakening for you?
I was just taking, you know, taking the punches as I went along, you know.
Yeah.
I never had no male role model, no shit like that. Just me and my bros, you feel me?
Right.
And the people around us. So, like, I really, because it was still more, you know, back then it was still more organic. I was born in 1991, so like,
period.
You feel me? I got to see like, you know, real gang banging and shit like that compared to where it's at now. I'm not saying it's real, it's just, it's different.
It's different.
So, you know, back then I was still on programs, still running, you know, how I'm supposed to run.
Right.
And, because I got shot, all type of shit within that too, you feel me?
So wait, hold on, what you mean? Wait, so what you mean?
Like, that was like infancy stage transitioning, trying to get out of it. You feel me?
So, okay. So what happened when you got shot? Like, where you get shot at? When this happened?
This fast forward, like, we went, matter of fact, we was at one of y'all shows. I'm stupid. Then.
Okay, so how old? Okay, so yeah, so then that's, so boom. So how old were you at the show?
Shit. I don't know.
You don't remember how old you was back there?
Hell nah, what?
Maybe like 20, it's or you was like 19?
19, 18, I don't know.
Yeah. And so, okay, boom. So then I'll hit on that a little bit. All right,
it's
so.
Crazy. I don't even know.
Man, it had been so much wild shit that didn't happen in life, man.
I didn't even.
So what happened, man, is back. I hit on this all the time with y'all. This skinny jean shit was a real thing. Like, we really went through hell over this shit. On top of the fact that it's street shit, it's beef, it's drama, i.e. always cracking. Then on top of that, we actually had some shit actually popping. People didn't fuck with that. They didn't like that. So they want any reason to come and say shit to us or whatever. So we had a show. And make a long story short, we killing the show. So full of people, we murk that shit. We leave out the show and walk into the cars. These dudes is just like skinny jean bashing.
Yeah, it was more so like
it was in there tripping.
They knew where
niggas was from.
Some of the homies and shit was from. So yeah. They just used that to, you know.
Exactly.
To
spark, yeah, exactly, to spark, yeah, shit off. And that's what I mean though, but that's what I mean. Like niggas, out of all things to say versus saying, fuck y'all niggas, versus saying, hey, y'all niggas is from there, versus saying, hey, you bitch, like, the niggas gonna say skinny jean bashing. Like, that was a real thing, you know what I'm saying? But what was crazy is that when all that was being said, it was finna crack. And so, make a long story short, you know, we young dudes, they young, we all young, and so we just trying to scrap. You know what I mean? Nobody's thinking of, sorry, y'all. That was actually my phone. And I'm slipping, freedom of speech listeners. Blame it on the gas pack, which is definitely brought to you by the Inland Empire. It is incredible. But you know what I mean? It was just a wild night. And make a long story short, we wasn't even coming there for none of that. So we was there to defend ourselves and hopped out to scrap. Niggas start busting. The bro got hit. The other homie, SO, got hit, drove him to the hospital.
Man, that shit wasn't nothing. That was, you know, that was cool. The nigga was still, you feel me? Because these all teenage years, you know, you really don't get out that shit till, you know, 20, you know, later.
Yeah,
really,
period.
Really go off about, it ain't even age, it's experience.
It's experience.
You know, how fast you get woke into the situation, then you play your politics different.
Exactly. Right?
So.
Period.
That shit was still, you know, early age, early bullshit life.
Yeah, I just remember, I do remember it though, like really waking, the whole team up on a different level. It turned shit up, most definitely, but it woke shit up. Like, you know, I felt like we really started to take the whole bow shit to a different level, which I want you to even explain that, you know, and B.O. Dub and how that even started, which, you know, that stand for Brodies Over Wodies. Anybody who's been, if you follow us on that music side, you've been seeing that probably from day one. When you see all my my like handles, B.O. Dub Price, that's what that stands for. You know what I mean? And I purposely always kept and always gonna keep it, because it's just, that shit is the brotherhood. Like, that shit is just shit that is just, it's niggas like Matt, for instance, that is gone for, yeah. You know, he got a life sentence, but he's not gone forever, nowhere near it. And he actually, you know, he young and he definitely gonna be home. But he repping B.O.W., he a founder of it, and he, everything he did was B.O.W. And so it's like,
yeah,
you know, how did that, you know, even crack off? What was the brain behind that, the thought behind that, you know, and how it is now over the world?
Well, B.O.W., you know, that's the teenage ages and shit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Niggas like, you know, some of the homies, you know, they 11th grade, 10th grade, seniors, you know, just something within the inner city. Like, it was Brodies Over Wodies originally, you know, when niggas was kids and shit. You know, that's when we was, you know, bullshit.
And Wodies is girls, bitches, Wolves, females, ladies, queens, all that.
But, you know, we ain't mean no harm to the ladies, no disrespect, you know.
At all.
But it was, you know, it's just putting your brothers over everything, which it really transitioned into, because now it's over the world, but it still stands for brothers over the world, you know?
Exactly.
And we dropped the B because we all know we brothers, so it's just over the world.
Period. And
it's to describe an actual action, like, you feel me? Over the world, you put your passion over the world to reach your goal, whatever that is, you feel me?
That's fire.
And you put that over the world and go get it. But
that's amazing.
Yeah, B.O.W. was something that we all started, youngest kids in Rialto. That started in Rialto. All the homies I know is like me, you know, Matt.
Yeah.
You know, T&J. There was a couple of niggas we was just sitting politicking, like, you know, we want to start something our own. Like, you know, little click and shit. Some of the homies was rapping.
Yeah.
You know, niggas was doing shows in Rialto at the park and just different shit, just doing shit, you know. But it trimmed out. Because it wasn't even like no hood shit, you know?
Yeah, not at all.
It was just, you know, people from everywhere, just different homies. All we all went to school with each other and shit like that.
Man, it was crazy for me because, like, I remember distinctively, like, I remember the day, every piece of it. I was just like, I remember when we was in, like, North Hollywood and just, I'm like, man, we need a squad, like, we need, like, a real brand, like, we need a real team, like, that's true to us, like, our shit, like, our homies and shit, you know what I'm saying? And this is before I'm even thinking of B.O.W. I'm just thinking this over at the spot, and then I end up coming over to Shanteezy house, I kid you not, and y'all was in the room recording, I want to say Turtle was in there on the little bunk, little laptop. Y'all had some little bunk shit going, but it was going though. But it was like, I was just like, man, I was just always fucking with just the leadership. And then I loved the B.O.W. shit. I just seen what it was, what it could be, and what we was finna make that shit, period. Like, where it was going to go to the next place. And that's just when I was just like, you know what, fuck that. This shit right in my face, like, period. Like, these niggas is all stars. They all got their own role, their own light, their own strengths, their own pros, their own cons. But that's every click, you know? And it was just dope to see because it was so much street shit going on and so much shit surrounded that was trying to pull us under and could pull us under and pull anybody under. That's anywhere, man. You gotta understand something. When niggas talk about this shit, in motherfucking Delaware, it's hoods. Like, it's hoods anywhere. It's gangsters everywhere. That's not, like, that's not even something that's...
Yeah. Well, Rialto, you know, that shit, Rialto, San Bernardino, it goes stupid out, you know?
All that.
But niggas is only 45, 50 minutes away from L.A., you know? A lot of
Everybody got cousins and family in LA, you feel me?
Exactly.
Like, whole families, you know, that shit, niggas right down the street from each other. Why wouldn't it be gangbanging out here?
Period.
Any other place else? You know, that shit multicultural through hip-hop, all that.
Right. And that's why it's like, so seeing that, seeing the place where that shit can go, we started to just brand it on the music side. And then the touring side, and then just to where it's at now. And so, you know, over the world, which transitioned to even like the sports shit you got going, like the, you know, being a part of the Good Eats brand and what all that type of stuff. Explain that, like, you know, Good Eats, what is that whole vibe?
Yeah, so the whole transition was real because B.O.Dub was like, you know, that's when we was kids, just, you know, fucking around and shit. The more we actually got into business and started learning the game, you feel me? Now we transitioned to Over the World. Instead of us as kids envisioning a record label, now we transitioned into a management and consulting firm.
Right. So that's fire.
You feel me? And our brother-sister company is Good Eats. It's a, you know, it's a couple NFL athletes. That's they shit. They own it. Dante, Deion, Darren Thompson, you know.
That's cracking.
The New York Giants.
And who is Dante, Deion to you?
That's my little brother. That's my young brother.
That's fire.
That's the big dog.
Shout out to Dante, Deion.
Deion.
That's the little bro. He plays for the New York Giants. Was a star at Boise State. Just incredible athlete, but y'all are now doing business and just planning out business. Like, because in case y'all don't know, freedom of speech is going to be mobile. We sagging. So this ain't even going to be somewhere we just locked and cooped up. We pulling up on shit, period, point blank. And I said that to say, I'm literally looking at, like, a heat press fucking, what is this? Like, explain to, I mean, I know what it is, but explain to the people, what am I looking at right here? What is this, and how the hell did you even get into this? What am I looking at? That shit look like a robot.
Nah, this is just simple shit, you know. This is just a six-arm press. We be printing up our own clothes and shit, you know, silk screen printing, you know, direct to garment.
So y'all printing up clothes, y'all printing up merch.
Embroidery. Yeah.
Okay.
We making merch, we making everything.
That's,
you know,
fire.
We got pillows, all that, you know.
Pillows.
We got,
mind
you, know,
I see cups, pillows, everything. That's fire.
We keep it all in-house, make our own stuff, you know.
That's
amazing. We pass the power around.
And so how did you get into this world, and see, understand there's a method to the madness. Don't think that I brought this genius mind on here to talk about gangbanging all day. You know what I'm saying? Y'all gotta understand the struggle. You know, you don't know my struggle, so you can't feel my hustle. Wise words from Boosie Badass. You overdig. You gotta understand somebody's struggle to get why they go so hard. And then it makes you understand their success. You know what I'm saying? Nobody got no damn embroidery machine in they clutch. This shit is right here in your spot.
Yeah, well, this shit, like, I linked up with my boy Luis Rios, but right away.
Luis!
My boy Luis and, you know, Carlos, my good dream buddies.
Yes, sir.
We came up with this investment. This was some shit that, you know, because back in the G, I've always been on some entrepreneur shit, like, Since my teens, after all that shit, you know, 19. Like, around the time when I got shot, like, they put me back at work 2 weeks after I got shot.
Right.
I stayed there for, like, a month, but I quit. That's when I realized it was bullshit. Like, you feel me? I'm not even fully healthy. I'm back working for somebody else.
Right.
So, you know.
Which we gonna hit on all that. Most definitely. We gonna hit on just your mind frame when it comes to the system and all that you done seen and everything. But, you know, as far as entrepreneurship, so you always wanted to get into the entrepreneurship. And so this was just like a foot in the door that you was just passionate about?
Yeah, I was fucking with my homies making clothes with Luis and Carlos. I'm making clothes with them. They have their own brands, The Beautiful People and Good Dreams. And then, you know, TPP transitions to The Broken People. That's Luis Rios' brand.
That's
my boy. Like, we came up with this plot, and we started our own manufacturing, t-shirt manufacturing company. So we was making shirts for other people, making their brand.
Okay.
So we did like, we did y'all shit, Audio Push. We did, you know, some of their merch and designs and shit. We did some House of Hit shit. We did some shit for T-Pain. We did some shit for Good Eats.
Mm-hmm. That's fire. That's incredible. Damn, so y'all didn't do merch for T-Pain? That's
we was
shit.
Like, you know, we went local.
Let me buy
nigga.
You a drink, said, oh, then I'm going to take you home with. That's the shit, my
yeah,
nigga.
Yeah, they were some, damn Brazilian contributes.
Straight
shirts.
Up. That's fine.
We was just grinded it out. We went locally, hit all the 7-Elevens and shit out in the neighborhoods, making they shit.
That's fire.
Just, you know.
So just expanding it, period. And so what's the vision for it? You know what I mean? When you if you could do anything or you know, take this anywhere, what would be your vision? I mean, is it to have your own clothes, to have your own store, to have your own merch, to make merch for people, to be the biggest distribution company in the planet? Like, what is your plot for it? In case y'all don't, you know, y'all might hear that in the background, but that's the ice cream truck, because, nigga, this is a real thing out here. We are in the IE.
We really in the hood.
It's the IE, and it ain't no game to be played. And I'm probably going to go out there and give me a strawberry shortcake in a minute. Go ahead.
Yeah. But, man, yeah, the goal is always big, you know. That's why we wasn't just making our own shit or just focused on our clothing line. We was bringing a lot of other people's dreams to life. You feel me? Making they brands and shit. I wish I could be the biggest. You feel me? Distribution center, making everybody shit, manufacturing everybody shit.
That's fire.
But I even got, you know, bigger dreams outside of that. I'm trying to do like motivational speaking and different shit like that.
Word.
You know, we fucking with the tech and shit now, of course.
Yeah, that's fire. Yeah, the tech world. Yeah, that's crazy. In case y'all not understanding what that is. So as far as motivational speech, what makes you want to get into that? Tap into that like a little bit. Like, what brings you to that world? You know, obviously the stuff you've overcome and been through. But, you know, but what is this? What's some points that you feel like the people need to hear?
I mean, it's just, you know, real life, just real shit that, you know, other people could relate to, especially, you know, trying to transition out the inner city ghettos into corporations and different shit. Like, everybody, you know, we get taught one way, you know, ball, rap, just, you know, simple shit. I'm not good at rapping. I can't rap. You feel me? I didn't take the sports route, you know, all that type of shit. I didn't graduate high school. I wasn't, you feel me? That type of shit, focused and shit back then. But you could still transition out, because a lot of people that I know, you know, they consider me successful, because it's
100%.
Not about, you know, it's not about money. It's about, you know, what you move and do. You got power? Are you passing power? You know, are you elevating? So
that's fire.
You know, so I take all that shit in and just, you know, just run with it. You know, I'm definitely relevant for the people that's like me. So they could learn from me just like I learned from them. I've been through all type of shit. We ain't touching all that, but it's just, you know, just it's a mindset. You gotta stay focused.
Yeah, period. And that's real though, because like you said, people want to hear something they can relate to. You know, people, nah, you good, baby. This freedom of speech, we kicking it. We kicking flavor. Hey, if y'all fucking with my bro as of even just now and everything, y'all need to be leaving comments like all right here, because it's some of the realest shit ever, and we ain't even gotten into just the real brain power this dude really got. That's the cold part, you know what I mean? But it's real though about transitioning out and being that figure that they could relate to, not on no cliche bunk shit, but on some real shit. Like, the reason why people like Mozzie and Nipsey and them translate is just because you could relate to them. So when they take that power and they actually do dope shit, like smart stores and just dope shit, like, you know what I mean? It's something that you could, that give little kids that's never seen shit something to look forward to, you know what I mean? And especially coming up in the wild shit that we seen, you know, as far as Trump wild, weird ass and just the crazy shit. Like, we from Nye, so we see everything. There's so many Mexicans out here, it ain't funny. And so I don't want my niggas to leave. Luis Mexican, he on the way here. That's the homie. Y'all not taking him nowhere, you feel me? And so that's a real thing. But it, like, what's just some of your thoughts on even just some of that shit? You know what I mean?
Like,
and just
what, the Trump shit?
Or even, yeah, just the stand of black people in America and where we at, and just, you know, some of the things that you've thought on, like you said, you ain't been beat by the damn police. So like, what's just, you've had to see that, you've had to experience that firsthand.
Yeah.
And on top of that, things coming with your family being from Alabama, you yeah. know, and dealing with all that, like, you
that's
know.
That's part of us. That's part of the culture. You know, the shit wasn't long ago, so our people's experienced all that growing up. Moms, everybody, granny, you know, being called niggas, all that segregated shit.
Right.
You know, they've been through all that. So, you know, nothing don't, it don't change. We was aware of that, you know, very, very young through our peoples and shit, you know. You know, they not the type to tell you, you know, Santa Claus got you this. You know, everybody grind hard. Mom's got two jobs. We yeah, all know that.
We bust down that. These Jordans. Right.
Yeah, so, you know who bought your bike? Like, and
period.
All my cousins and shit grew up like that, you know? Like, everybody, we all grew up one family because ain't nobody really had no dads. It's all moms, granny, auntie. You feel me? All strong women building all strong men. Then, you know?
Right. Now, period. That's how it was. Like, I tell people that all the time. Like, man, my granny, the one who taught me how to change tires, change oil and shit
yeah.
on the whip. And literally, my granny taught us how to cook, wash the dishes, clean the kitchen, clean the whole crib. Because she, her whole thing would always be like, you don't need no woman. You already a man. So I need to teach you to the point where you don't need no woman and you your own man, yeah. period. So I'll bust the whole crib down on your ass, clean the whole shit, cook dinner, do the whole shit, and go outside, clip the weeds and do all that shit, because that's how we grew up, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, your granny, how's your granny, you know what I mean? Explain yeah. how the type of, for her coming from Alabama and shit like that, what was her vibe? I know y'all always talk about how she fought.
Yeah, her granny was a trooper. I wasn't going to tap go in. You know, I was just saying, like, you know, just in the sense of, still, that last question, like, it's just, you know, we was aware of the racism and shit.
Yeah.
That shit, it ain't gonna stop today. It ain't, it's gonna keep going, but, you know, not yeah. saying no shit like that. But granny grew up, you know, in the South, moved out here, moved to L.A. You know, they was part of some of the, this when gangbanging first started and shit, you know. Granny and them was part of, like, you know, the fighters, Pablo Blaz and all that, my auntie, my granny. All them,
they,
you know,
started it? They was making.
Yeah, they was first ladies of all that type of shit.
That's crazy.
And then, you know, we moved out here to the IE, to Pomona. Then they were some of the first ladies out here, part of, you know, these neighborhoods and families in Centown and shit like that. So,
damn.
Yeah.
In case y'all don't know, Pomona Sugar-Free is from Pomona. You dig? Yeah. And Sugar-Free is the greatest, one of my favorite rappers of all time.
Like, Sugar-Free damn near family, like.
Period.
On our end, like, you feel me? Like, I mean, like, my cousin is Pomona Pimpin' Young. That's my big blood cousin. Him and Sugar Free, you know, they boys.
They dropped
you know.
Albums together.
Yeah, that's real West Coast shit. You feel me? Real.
Straight up.
You know, Granny didn't got some writing credit on a Sugar Free album before.
Right. Didn't y'all Granny tell him something?
Like that, you know. Stay ready, you ain't got to get
yeah,
ready.
Yeah, if you stay ready. Nah, ain't no but.
But, you know,
if
it's
you
all,
stay
it's
ready,
all love, like,
you ain't got to get ready. That's a legendary. Yo, Granny is involved with that. That's legendary.
Well, just not, you know, not deep into death. Just on some
but
family
just on
shit.
Some
you
family
know, they,
shit. Give
everybody around each other, Buna. That's all, you know, it's been like that for years. Even Sugar, Shane Mosley and them, you know, my peoples and they peoples all good, you know.
That's love.
All fab sense, you know, fab and shit.
That's fire. Yeah, I'm going to be real, though. Like, ever since I've been coming around, man, since I was younger, it's always been that. Like, literally. My son and grew up just seeing their family and just granny always didn't show love and shit. So I know I could only imagine just how it is being around that energy as long as you have, you know what I mean? Because the family vibe is real. Like, this nigga mom, Shantizi, is cooking every Sunday and not playing no games. Like, she stayed on Maple and niggas was pulling up. It was a point, man, I'm going to be real, like, it was a point we would stay at her crib like what? Like, she on my list of people who just gonna get broke off and they ain't even gonna know it. Cause like, we really was thugging in her spot, period. Me, Octane, Bobby, Dollar. It'd be points we all up in there for multiple days, days on days on days. You know what I'm saying? Just intrude niggas vibes. It's 100%.
Yeah, that's back in
being
the early,
young.
That's the teenage, you know?
Yeah, like.
Them days too, like, but that's just the environment we always had, you know. You got four boys under one roof, you know, all the homies gonna wanna pull up. We trying to link anyway, so it always been like that since we live in the hood, you feel me? So when we move, like, you know,
ain't
outside, it ain't nothing changed. Everybody still gonna pull up, gravitate, You know, we been vibing off each other for a minute. Like, but we always had that house. You know, you ain't got a spot to stay. A homie could come stay, you feel me?
Right. That's fire, man. I see, like, little toys and whatnot up in here, too. Like, what's you want to hit on some of that?
Oh,
like,
yeah, definitely. You already know, we real family orientated. So, you know, out of four boys, I got a daughter.
That's
what's
up.
I got one daughter and I got one on the way, so, you know.
That's what's up. Shout out to little mama, Tata.
Yeah,
how old is your daughter?
Girls. She's six.
That's what's up.
She's six, you know, grown, smart.
Exactly.
You know.
It's crazy with these millennials, dog. Like, like my son's six, he about to be seven. And so it's like, I was just explaining it to my moms because she don't really understand. Well, she do understand it, but sometimes they got to get it broken down to them because they don't be getting it. Like, they be so mind blown when they see, or we all be mind blown when you see a little one-year-old swipe the iPad or type the code in the iPad at 8 months. You be like, damn, like, but you gotta understand, when our grannies was growing up, our mamas and aunties and shit, they was kids playing with blocks maybe. And then some of them playing with horses outside, playing with the straws and shit, or you know what I'm saying? They wasn't no playing with iPads at 2 months, 3 months. So you you naturally growing up so much smarter. But like my mom was saying it too, because she's spiritual, she a Christian, so she's heavy into the Bible, and she was saying how in the Bible it say that, you know, it say like that this generation is gonna get smarter but be lazier.
Yeah,
and when you think about it,
pros
the internet
and cons. It's pros and cons,
and that's what the internet do. You can't even front. Like, that's why you got Uber, you got Postmates, you got all this shit where you got everybody, you know, doing shit so manual. I mean, all technology wise. You walk in the damn the restaurant, like you said, the restaurant, everything fucking all computer wise. You ain't even.
Yeah, everything we, you know.
But the labor going away, but niggas is getting smarter. And so it's crazy to see with the millennials, you know what I mean? How do you feel about just. The world we even in, and just seeing the technology and just being a part of it, because you so heavy into it, you know what I mean?
I mean, it's crazy. It's just like, you know, it's just being aware of it since we older now. We always in the middle of the transition. Like, nigga, when I was, like, in fourth and fifth grade, they transitioned our, you know, our school books out for the European shit, you know?
Right.
That's when they start taking God out. All the different just transitions, this is just another transition. We in the middle of that.
Period.
Like, you know, now billboards going digital. You feel me now? You know, all the menus is going digital. Everything going digital.
Mm.
You know, that's how it's going to be. We in the middle of that. So I think it's crazy, you know, flying cars and all that shit. It'll soon to come. They got self-driving shit, you know, all that.
Because when you think about it, too, like, airplanes, in a sense, is a flying car. You get what I'm saying? Like, because before there was airplanes, they never thought that's what they would think. Like, wait till cars could fly. Then airplanes came. You know what I'm saying? But then when we're able to all drive, like fly our shit ourselves.
Yeah, they talking the highway we talking systems about. And, you know, all type of shit.
That's like, going to be crazy.
That's a nigga that, like.
I'm not sleep on it, like, though.
That nigga, like, how we just, you feel me? Ironically, on some tech shit, like how we just linked up today, you know. We met up with Idris saying, dude, that shit was crazy, you feel me?
Damn.
Yeah,
that was nutty.
It's like, you know, just like how the shit he was showing us, you know, how technology evolving and shit. And, like, you know, they're part of that, you know, that coding and all that shit. And that shit's crazy.
Break down to the people who might not be familiar with who he is, you know, with some of the wild shit that he got cracking.
So, bro, like, behind a lot of shit, like, he got hired at Google when he was 13, you know.
Right.
Like, he behind, you know, the self-driving shit with Tesla, you know, just different crazy projects that I think is don't know he behind, like the geo filters on, you know, Snap, IG, Twitter, hashtags. Like, he did the coder for all that
and
shit.
And this
like,
dude is 20.
Yeah.
From L.A.
Black.
Black young dude.
You feel me? So,
parents from Ghana. That's nutty.
Yeah, that shit crazy. So it's like, you know, hooking up with people like him just show you, like, you know, what the fuck really going on out here.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be aware, you know, what you don't know going to hurt you.
So. And the times, and the way the times change, man, if you don't adjust, you will get lost in the times, and that's the sad thing. And these times ain't the times to get lost in.
Nah, definitely not. You got to identify what's going on. It's the transition. It's the power of the internet. get involved. You feel me?
Period.
You shouldn't be in America if you're not an entrepreneur. Just get involved.
So what's some of your, I mean, so what's some of your, you don't got to go deep into it, but you already, I mean, you got, as a young entrepreneur, multiple different ventures that you are into as far as your clothing and the sports agency and the management, because he's a part of our management, in case y'all didn't know. You've toured many places out the country, like yeah. I said, with us, multiple places. this is all post gangbang, you know what I'm saying? And or at least post all the shit and just the trauma that we explained earlier. So that's the beauty of
it. It was
so much success after, and it still is. And like we said, we just had the meeting today with Idris. And
yeah, that shit crazy. I've just been in my books tucked off, you know, really going in with the team. We just been getting our logistics together. So I'm just paying attention to different shit now. And with me, you know, gaining more knowledge and identifying what's going on, the manifestation is just happening. So I'm linking with, you know, all these people. I got their names on my boards and shit like that. Then, you know,
then you in their face.
Is connected. Yeah. Like, you know.
That's
like,
fire.
Like my boy David Gross, like, you know, he a big time dude too. He fucking with a lot of people, you know. He behind business ventures with like Khaled and Nipsey.
That's fire.
You know, Lou Aldang.
Okay.
Will Smith, Jaden, just different people. I've been able to be in his presence recently and, you know, gain knowledge from him and just chop it and
that's dope.
Different shit like that. So, you know.
And that's what it's about, man. Like, people don't understand, man, this game. You gotta, man, I always said, like, we all plants. And we all got to water each other to keep us growing. You know what I'm saying? If we all around each other and ain't nobody watering nobody and we all just stagnant plants, we just dry. Don't nobody want to see no little side that you plant a seed and you keep coming outside that motherfucker the same size forever. Like, you like, damn. And you wondering why? Because ain't nothing watered, but you ain't watering it. If you ain't watering it, it ain't gonna grow. And that's how I look at it. Like, I'm around my bros, I'm around my homies, my family, anybody. I'm always trying to water somebody, just sprinkle some game, just do anything I can to put some life into them so that, you know what I mean, they know that it's some possibility out there to get, like, just seeing him today, man, being 20, I'm like, damn.
Yeah, is it in time change? Like what you was doing when you was 20.
Right.
Like, what I was doing when I was 20, I was on some bullshit.
Period, 100%. I'm 26 and be feeling like, man, I'm young, because I am young. And I got so much this and that, and I'm doing it. But when you see that, and you like, damn, you got hired at Google at 13, it's like,
yeah, that's
it's so much more to do out here.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. It's just about, but linking up, you know, with them type of people, it's you know, what we could really put together and change the culture, move the culture forward. You feel me?
Yeah.
Because it's like, of course, we got the culture vultures who've been milking the game for so long. It's like, it's still niggas that's moving the culture forward in the right ways. You feel me? And we getting up with all those type of people.
Right.
You know, because we are a part of this culture and shit. We is in the midst of all the transition and everything that's going on. We've been aware, so how we not? You feel me?
Period.
So
how we not gonna be?
That's why it's aligning like that.
Yeah. And that's and what people don't understand is harmony is a real thing, and like manifesting is a real thing. Like, when you thinking it and then moving accordingly, because it's different when you just want some shit. You could want all day, and that's the one issue I have, you know, with some people that are stuck in, like, Christian mentalities. There's nothing wrong with being a Christian, but when you're stuck in the religious mentality, then you just stuck on that, oh, it's okay, because when I die, I'm going to go to heaven, and it's going to be streets of gold. Like, nah, so I ain't got to do nothing here. Like, no, get your ass up and do something. Working while you waiting. That's greatness. You know what I'm saying? Word to Octane. Like, if you planning and you plotting while you waiting, even if that's something you want and you foresee it, but as long as you working towards it, do if you know you want to be a videographer or some shit, every day you need to be doing something in the name of that. If you rap, do something in the name of that every day. Whatever it is that you say you do. Yeah. And that's why I wanted to have you on here, because one, just knowing the things you've been through, knowing you got a voice, knowing that you are killing shit, you entrepreneur, you ride around foreign all day, you got ventures that are real, and I've seen you do it from the ground up, and to like know that it's a real thing out here and to just express that to the people, man, because people need to know that. People need to feel that. People need to see it. It's a real thing. Freedom of speech. You dig what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And so we gonna wrap up, man. It's my brother Cito. You know, y'all, if you got any handles or anything that they could chop it up with you, let them know wherever they could follow you. Where you at? You on Twitter, Insta? What's your get down?
I'm on Twitter at Cito Second, CEETLE, the number 2ND, Cito Second. That's all my socials.
Follow up.
Yeah, follow up. We didn't really go, you know, into nothing crazy or nothing. When I double back next time, the movie will be ready. I'm just saying. Nah, but we going to, you know, we'll double back later on, you know, deeper.
And that wraps up part one of an incredible episode, man, with Cito Second, a.k.a. Terrence Vidal. Ah, man, that was fire. Make sure y'all follow up, leave comments, share it, do all the dope shit that you could do, man. I'm just excited I could, you know, provide a platform for people like Cito, you know, like, who is incredible, man. Owns his own business, multiple different assets, management, just doing dope shit, and his story need to be out there, you feel me? So make sure y'all follow him on everything. Make sure y'all being free, focused, resisting everyone else. Get your vibe from resisting everyone else. Firm resisting everyone else, you dig? And y'all keep y'all vibes pure, man. Stay free. And remember, don't take anything personally.